BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
My buddy John Wilner and I, we have a video cast or YouTube cast or whatever you want to call it, Canzano and Wilner. And we talk about college athletics, the Pac-12, and sometimes we get big guests. Greg Sankey's been on the show. George Kliavkov's been on the show. Jed Fish was on. And today it was Tim Pernetti, the commissioner of the American Athletic Conference. Now, Pernetti was really good. I was impressed with him today. Wilner and I haven't really talked about this since we did the interview this morning, but I got to bring him on. And we're going to unpack it a little bit. I got a couple of the audio cuts from the interview because we even talked about the Pac-12 schools last September that came after Memphis, Tulane, and some others. Pernetti says there were actual offers in front of those schools. His approach was very different. John Wilner joining us, San Jose Mercury News, Bay Area News Group superstar, and the co-host of Canzano and Wilner, the podcast. How you doing, man?
I'm good, thanks. I hope everybody's safe up there. I just saw on the news about that 100-car traffic accident on the freeway.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it up to 100 now? Was it like 24 when the show started? But I haven't left the house. I think some of my listeners are probably out on the roads. But, yes, stay off the roads if you don't need to be on the roads. You don't get any of this weather down where you are, do you? Like, what do you get there?
We get a lot of rain. In fact, it's been raining today. I assume it's the same system that's hitting you guys, but we've had rain for 20 straight hours, so there's flooding. We don't get snow. Only the mountains east of the bay, east of San Jose, get snow. We never do.
Wilner, we had Tim Pernetti on, commissioner of the American Athletic Conference. I want to play a little clip here. This is Pernetti talking about, you know, I think you asked him the question about the Pac-12 coming after some of his schools last September, last October. Here's what Pernetti had to say about how he handled that. You know, he said he went into an advisory role and really kind of worked as a consultant for his schools, telling them, hey, let's get everybody in the same room. Here's Pernetti talking about it.
So institutions vetting what's out there to see what's best for their school, that's their job. I wasn't upset about it, but what we did was we made sure to surround those four schools with experts and expertise so they could separate fact from fiction and make sure they were dealing with, you know, information that enabled them to make the decision. But at the end of the day, I had no chip in that game. Like, it wasn't my decision. So we chose to just make sure that they were well informed. And at the end of the day, I love how it played out. I love that the schools band together and made a joint statement about how committed they were. And the unity of this conference is actually a real thing right now. But I'm not a fool. Okay. I know, as long as conferences are thinking about the future and what's the future of my media rights and whatever, you know, I fully expect this is like hurricane season. Like, we had it in September and it's going to come back around. Like, it's inevitable and you can't predict when it's going to hit. So we just have to be prepared for it. But I was proud of how the league handled it. Like, if I could take you guys back, I remember seeing those four ADs sitting in rooms, talking to each other about it and sharing information and like, what did your offer say? And, you know, what did this say? Because, you know, they received actual offers to evaluate. But I was really proud of how they stuck together. And I think they made a decision that made total sense based on the information at the time. And I also know that then you got to turn around and face your fans. And sometimes fans don't dive deep enough to totally understand why you made the decision you made.
Wilner, what'd you think of Pernetti's approach as the Pac-12 was coming after some of those American schools?
Very calculated and effective, I think, and not what you'd necessarily expect from a commissioner. You know, you might think he'd be, you know, defensive, the salesman mode where you're all defensive and criticizing the other conference would be the how they would react. But he took the opposite approach, and I have to think it was pretty effective and resonated with his schools, right? I mean, it is ultimately you got to make the decision based on the facts as you know them. And if you're going to lay them out like he did, that just serves your schools better. And you come off as more of an honest broker.
Yeah, an honest broker and, you know, somebody who is, you know, seen as an ally of the schools. And there seems to be with the American a real spirit of, hey, we understand, we know who we are, right? And we know how we're viewed in the ecosystem. And they know they're a stepping stone conference. Do you expect the Mountain West and the Pac-12 see themselves very different than that?
Well, I think the Pac-12 is going to see itself a little bit different. The Mountain West has got no choice. It's going to be a stepping stone based on how it's going to be composed starting in 2026. The Pac-12, if you gave everybody in the Pac-12, as its new form, if you gave everybody like a shot of sodium pentothal, they'd probably tell you, you know what, we're going to be the best conference that's not the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, or ACC. Like, they see, the new Pac-12 sees itself as clearly the best of the group of five, group of six, whatever you want to call it, third tier, whatever you want to call it. Whereas, you know, the American may feel the same way, but the Mountain West, I mean, they've got no, you know, they've got no leg to stand on with that. They're the third tier within the third tier.
The threat of the Big Ten and the SEC running away with it all has been out there. These are conferences that are going to meet here next week, I believe, and have this summit. You tell me, you know, how much fear is there in the ecosystem right now?
Well, I think there's some concern, pretty deep concern, as to what might happen. I don't believe anyone expects that this meeting, which I want to say is February 19th, is going to result in any firm decisions. I think it's more just about another step in moving toward a world where the SEC and the Big Ten are effectively dictating policy. Now, what policy could they dictate? Well, the two things that are most, I think, at the top of mind for most people would be the playoff format and then the future of the NCAA tournament, because those conferences and the ACC and Big 12 too, I've made it pretty clear, I think, that they'd like more spots, right? Throw in eight more at-large bids to get to 76, and most of those would go to those conferences. And then the playoff thing, too. You know, there's a threat that the SEC and Big Ten are going to basically say, we're going to have four automatic bids before the season even starts. We're getting four bids in the playoff, and nobody else wants that to happen.
I don't like it at all. You know, on that note, Pernetti talked about that. He talked about, you know, the fear or maybe the worry of the Big Ten and the SEC running away from it. Here's Tim Pernetti of The American.
It's interesting. Like, when I started years, if you flash back, when I was a young TV guy, I was in the room and got to know all these. I got to know Commissioner Kramer and Mike Slive and Tony and John Swofford and Tom Hansen at the Pac-10, you know, and Jim Delaney. And that was kind of the room I grew up in. And what I always was amazed by was, they were all fighting for their conference, but when it was time to move the enterprise forward, everybody came to the middle. And they knew moving the enterprise forward created accretive value for everyone in there. So I think we've lost a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And I think if we can get everybody back to the table with that mindset, that like access, if we're going to expand the college football playoff, which I don't know if we're going to do or not, I'm sure we're going to talk about it. If we're going to expand it, expansion needs to provide more access for everyone, not just for some over others. But I'm not worried. I think everybody's curious. But listen, we're having meetings, you know, at our level too, to discuss the future and creating new properties and what we could potentially do. And I think everybody's just curious what everybody else is doing. Having said that, we're in the room together 10 times a year. And all it takes is a little sharing for everybody to get to the same place, because college football is the product. It's not Pac-12 football, American football, SEC football. College football is the product. And if we remember to just keep that at the middle of the table and build around it, then I think we have a real chance at this thing getting even bigger than it is, because, I mean, is it strong? It's stronger than it's ever been. It's never been a time it's been this good.
All right. Easy for Tim Pernetti of the American to think that way. Can he get the SEC and the Big Ten, Wilner, to think that way?
Yeah, it's going to be hard. He's right in that it's tougher, you know, to get people to move to the center and do what's best for the sport. than it has ever been. And I don't know that the SEC and Big Ten are going to be willing to do it. They view themselves as the sport now, right? They would point to all the metrics, the TV ratings and the stadium size and the playoff and all that, and say, and the revenue, and say, we're the product. It's not the sport as a whole. It's our two conferences. We're the product. And so that mentality, I think, is going to make it much more difficult for there to be any type of, you know, good of the game, good for the game, camaraderie and policy making that suits everyone.
Wilner, we're watched the playoff go on, and there's, you know, I think you and I are on the same page. We don't really expect there to be major changes for 25. 2026 would be the major year where we might see some real changes. But what do you expect to see in 2025, if there are any tweaks at all?
That's a good question. I think that there won't be any tweaks, because in order to make a tweak for this upcoming football season, they have to have unanimity. So all 10 conference commissioners plus Notre Dame have to agree. One conference can blow up any policy change. But starting in 2026, there's no governance structure like that. The Big Ten and the SEC can basically strong-arm whatever they want starting in 2026. So I don't think there's going to be changing for the playoff in 25. What I do think is going to happen in 25 is that there's going to be NCAA tournament expansion. I think that's where the Big Ten and the SEC are going to basically, they're going to put their eggs in that basket for 25, and then they'll worry about playoff expansion for 26.
I am eager to see what happens to the ecosystem. I'm also afraid of what's going to happen. Are we going to lose college? Are we going to lose college football? Are we going to lose the spirit of college athletics?
I don't think we are in danger of that happening in the near term. But longer term, you know, in the 2030s, I think that there could be some things that happen that do threaten that spirit. I don't know that it will ever completely diminish, because everybody's got an alma mater, right? And everybody loves their football team. So in that regard, it's almost, the sport's almost insulated from losing relevance. But I do think it's in danger of losing its place. You know, if you argue that it's the second most popular sport in the country, it may not be able to hold that mantle, you know, into the 2030s if it does some dumb things.
What are those dumb things? What are you most worried about?
Well, I think the Super League is really a threat, especially if it's a small Super League, right? We've seen 60, 70 teams models, but I don't think that that is economically viable for the media companies that are going to fund the whole thing. They don't want to broadcast NC State against Minnesota in a Super League. It's not worth the money to them. So I think the whatever happens, it's going to be small, like 32 teams, a mini NFL, and everybody else is going to be playing in regionalized conferences that are, you know, basically a second tier. And I'm not sure. That may, you know, some regional rivalries will be preserved, but I don't know that the sport would benefit from that type of structure.
Yeah, and I think, too, what's good for TV is sometimes not what's good for, you know, the health of the sport long term.
Yep.
As it becomes,
exactly
it starts,
right. I mean,
starts to, yeah, go ahead.
No, you're right. I mean, what works for TV is UCLA at Rutgers in a conference game, Stanford against Wake Forest in a conference game. I don't know that that is good for the athletes for sure, and I'm not sure it's great for the fans, but that's what chasing the TV dollars has brought.
John Wilner with us. Pernetti talked about outside capital investment. Now, he didn't say private equity. He said capital. I want to play a piece of this clip. I thought this was very interesting.
So exploring outside capital, I think, is really, really smart, because I was really lucky when I was at IMG. I got to be part of a couple of private capital deals, businesses that I was running that sold. And where outside investment gets attracted is to businesses that have massive affinity. I think we can check that box. Are growing at a significant clip. We can check that one. And sometimes could be run a little bit better. I definitely think we could check that one. So the beauty of private capital is your asset in a lot of conferences is your media rights contract. Instead of your institutions waiting every year for their portion of that, it'd be great to be able to accelerate that investment, give them that money to be able to invest in value-creating enterprise now. So when we go back to the market for TV rights, you have a more valuable enterprise, and then everybody wins. The schools win. Whoever accelerated you, the capital wins. It's almost like you treat them like a member. You take their investment, and then they get a distribution every year, just like every other member. So I think this is going to happen. I don't think it's an if. I think it's a matter of who's going to do the first deal, and I'm fully expecting that the first one is going to be announced in the market in the next 30 to 60 days.
Wow. 30 to 60 days. Is he talking about the American, or what is he talking about?
I don't think he's talking about the American, because if he were, he probably wouldn't have said it, is my hunch. He may be talking about schools, though. Who knows? He could be talking about the Pac-12, right? They're about to have a media rights deal. You could argue some of the schools in the rebuilt Pac-12 would be prime for some private capital support. I don't know exactly who's going to do it. I know that a bunch of schools have been kind of poking around for a long time and are really riding on the capital versus equity. Like, it's not going to be you're selling a piece of your soul. It's more like you're getting a credit card, and you're going to have to make sure you make your payments. So, but it could be anybody. I mean, I've heard a lot of conferences and a lot of schools are at least examining their options.
All right. We just watched Ohio State beat Notre Dame for the national title, and then Ohio State promptly lost both coordinators, one to Penn State, one to the NFL. Is this an unusual development for a national champion, or do you kind of expect that a major college program could become a stepping stone job when it comes to coordinators, or is it maybe we shouldn't be drawing sweeping conclusions based on a very small sample size?
Yeah, probably. I like drawing sweeping conclusions off small sample sizes, but it is risky. Michigan lost its coach to the NFL, its head coach. You know, now there were other circumstances there, but, you know, so the last two national champs have both been hit hard in that regard. If I'm an assistant coach or a coordinator at Ohio State and I win the national title, I'm getting the hell out of there. Because if you go 13-1 or 14-1 and you lose the national title next year on a last-second field goal, you're going to get skewered. Because it's Ohio State. So I would get out while the getting's good. I think Chip was smart. I think Jim Knowles was smart. But I also think that if, let's just say, Notre Dame had just lost its coordinator, right? Al Golden went back to the NFL. So even if you don't win, you're losing guys. But at the same time, NFL coaches are coming into college sports, right? So it's there's a lot of back and forth, and part of that's because the line is blurring between the two entities, right? College sports is becoming more like the NFL or college football. So it's not as big a transition from one to the other.
Oregon fans think you don't like Oregon, Wilner. And you know, Washington fans think you don't like Washington, and so on and so forth. It's part of the game, all right? But what do you think of Dan Lanning and Oregon and the job they did this season and the way that their season ended? And how much of that do you put on Lanning? How much of that do you go, hey, man, this 12-team playoff was a weird animal?
Well, I think it's I have a complicated answer. It's a little bit of everything, right? I don't think that they were as well prepared as they should have been for that game. Especially on the offensive side, I think Ohio State's defensive plan was terrific, and they completely outcoached Oregon. I also think that the Ducks were the victim of the format, which you and I have talked about, right? I kept saying for weeks they're better off losing in the Big Ten and not being the number one seed with that huge layoff, because that was going to be – they're going to risk playing Ohio State, right? But that tells you the format's wrong. If you're better off losing – and not being the number one seed, there's something wrong with the playoff format. So I thought that they drew a short straw in that regard. If they had played anybody else, I think they would have had a chance to win, and then they could have gotten Ohio State later in the playoff when the Ducks had gotten back into their rhythm. I mean, they were off for a long time. So I think it was a little bit of the coaching and a little bit of the format. I think if you're an Oregon fan and you're grading Dan Lanning, though, you give him an A, and you're thrilled that he's your coach, and you hope like hell he stays your coach for as long as he's willing to stay there, and you go to sleep very happy at night.
John Wilner, find him at wilnerhotline.com. You can listen to the rest of the Tim Pernetti interview on YouTube, Canzano and Wilner, the podcast. Wilner, thank you, man. Good stuff.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. There he goes. He says, be happy. Thank your stars that you got Dan Lanning. And expect that Dan Lanning's going to have some growth in the next season. Punch It Audio's coming up.